you need a handout, raise your hand. Anybody need a handout? Now, kids, all the kids that are in here tonight, if you fill out your handout tonight, the treasure chest is up here. And if you're, we got a kid that needs a handout. Albert needs one right here. There we go. Yeah, he's got his handout, right? And if you're Albert's age and you want a treasure chest item, then that's cool too. So, but you have to bring the completed handout, all the blanks filled in, up front when the service is over, and we'll go fishing in the treasure chest. I know Ben's excited. Ben's already grinning over here. So, all right. Tonight is part one of a two-part series. We're going to finish up, obviously, next week. And my name is Jim Fleming. There's some of you that I don't know yet. I've been a member here at Stewart Heights for about 11 years. My wife, Julie, and our kids, Anna Grace and Caleb. And she's excited that I pointed her out. She's going to crawl under the pew here. And we love Stewart Heights Baptist Church. And this church loved us at a time in our life where we needed a lot of love. And kind of, as Daryl said, wrapped your loving arms around us and took us through a very low spot. And we love you guys. Just what we do. That's what we do. So tonight is the first part. You can go to the next slide there. And have you ever been told you're welcome for something that you kind of felt like you were just supposed to be doing anyway? You ever? And you're told thank you, and you're supposed to say you're welcome back because thank you for doing this thing. And you go, well, you're welcome, but we're supposed to be doing that kind of thing. So I feel awkward in saying you're welcome. Well, I have this happen to me in Sunday school all the time. We'll do something for a family in Sunday school, and the family will come up and they'll just be overjoyed that somebody loved them. And I'm going, well, that's what we do, right? So this phrase, that's what we do, I use constantly in my Sunday school class. And that's what I'm going to talk about next week. But the flip side to that's what we do is that's what he does. Because the only reason that we do anything is because of what God has done for us. So tonight is that's what he does. Next week is that's what we do. Now, if you're looking at your handout, everybody got your handout? Look at your handout. There's something weird about the title of this talk, right? What's weird about that? All the letters are kind of smushed together. And you grammar people are going, that's not right. There's supposed to be an apostrophe and spaces. I mean, there's some challenges there. Well, that's it's called a hashtag. How many of you know what a hashtag is? Well, we should all know what a hashtag is. You're looking at it, right? No. A hashtag, you've heard of things called computers. Everybody knows what a computer is? Yep. Well, computers that are hooked together all across the world make up the internet. Yes, it's like on the screen. And different internet websites, those are places on the internet that you can go, have different material, right? You can navigate to one spot and find out news. You can navigate to another spot and find out sports. And you can navigate to another spot and waste your whole life on Facebook, right? And there are people that a long time ago, up to 10, 12 years ago, decided that they want to describe their lives online. And they called it logging or web logging, and they shortened that term to blogging. You've heard the phrase blogging, right? This is where you describe what you do. Well, some people thought that some people's blogs were way too long. So they came up with the idea of microblogging. This is very, very short bursts of information about what you're doing. It's the kind of stuff that shows up on Facebook. I just finished a 15-mile run. Please pray for me. The Leslin. There you go. Okay. Mine is more of the idea of I just got tired reading DeLeslin's post about her 15-mile run because I'm not doing anything 15 miles. So microblogs, and how many of you have heard of Twitter? Heard of Twitter? Twitter is a service that allows you to use microblogs to update a status on what you're doing. Now, that brings us back to hashtags. This has nothing to do with drugs. For all the kids in the audience, drugs are bad. Don't do drugs, okay? Hashtags are a condensed version. If you're not already laughing, it's going to be a long night, and I apologize, okay? Hashtags are a condensed version of a phrase so you can find things on Twitter. That's what we do. See, it's all mashed together. So you can search on topics about what's going on. So I might say, getting ready to go to church tonight, that's what we do. Because that's what we do as believers, right? Yesterday morning, I posted thankful for another day. That's what he does. Because there are things that I have absolutely no control over that God just does. He takes his love and he just pours it lavishly all over us. And it's awesome. How many of you are appreciative of God's love in your life? Amen. All right, so let's get started. So the first thing I want to look at tonight is that God creates. God creates. And we'll look at three things that God is doing, has done, and will do in the world. And I thought about going through all of Genesis chapter 1 and just talking about the things that God created. And then I started writing them down. And it was overwhelming. It was just way too much stuff because God is so busy to start the universe. It's unbelievable. So I restricted myself to just day one. Just day one, because that's all I could handle. It was just totally overwhelmed with day one. So let's look at Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning. So right off the bat, in the beginning. Well, if there was a beginning, that means he's created history. So in three words, he created history, which I think is kind of cool because I've never created a subject. I've come close to failing a few subjects, but I've never created a subject, okay? God created the heavens and the earth. So he created science, right? The study of things. He gave us something to study and something to look at and something to be absolutely amazed at. So kids, if you got your hand out, the first two blanks are what, Anna Grace? She's like, oh my goodness, he talked to me. History and science. Make sure you got those down, right? So, and God goes on. He's not done. This is still the first day. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. So what did he do there? He created language. God was the first person that ever spoke anything. So he created language. So he gave us a mechanism to communicate with him. Right? Because most people think, well, on the first day, what did God do? Well, he created the heavens and the earth and light. Yeah, he created a lot more than just that. He created subjects that we are studying 6,000 years later, and we have just scratched the surface of them. So what else did he do? And God saw the light and that it was good. Now, where does the good come in? The good comes in after the light, okay? So no value judgments on anything God created after the good, okay? You'll laugh here in a second. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. He numbered something, so he created math. Now, when did he create math? After he said it was good, okay? I'm a math guy, so if you're not a math person, that's okay. This is not a statement that God likes math. He put math after the good. He said, I knew I'd get an amen from somebody. So created math. So kids, let me ask you a question, all the kids in the audience. When we look at history and science and language and math, what does that sound like? Sounds like school. So what does God do on the very first day of creation? He takes us to school, and he shows us how it's done. And we just sit back and go, wow. And literally, we have been studying this stuff for 6,000 years, and we still don't have it figured out. If you think about the simplest thing in the universe, you boil it all down, and everything's made up of little tiny parts called atoms, right? Do you know what holds atoms together? Neither do the scientists. You know what their term for it is? The weak nuclear force and the strong nuclear force. It sounds really specific, doesn't it? It's because they have no idea how it works. None whatsoever. It just does. The math doesn't work. God holds it all together, though. He just does. That's what he does. Which is kind of cool, and I'm glad he does. So, he makes visible stuff, all this stuff that we can see, right? But he also makes invisible stuff. Now, I knew the kids were going to be here tonight, so I made some drawings on the screen. These are kind of cool. Original artwork by Jim Fleming. You ready? Actually, it's not. The one on the right is, I got off the internet. The one on the left, I had to doctor up a little bit. Now, the invisible stuff that God creates, I've got to restrict myself, otherwise we'll be here till 9 o'clock tonight. We're just going to restrict ourselves to talking about the invisible things that God creates at the moment of salvation, when he saved us. What does he create then? Well, we're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. The old guy is what? Dead. He's gone. How many of you are happy that the old man is gone? I'm happy. I got both hands up for that one. That's fantastic. The old man is gone. And the new guy doesn't mope around looking like the dead guy. Amen to that, right? Billy, do we have something to be excited about? I do. Yeah, absolutely. Me and Billy do. Me and Billy wanted to sing a whole nother verse. I don't know if y'all heard us for that song. We just took off on a whole nother verse. And Zach's looking at us like, you're crazy, guys, because the slides don't say that. You just get excited sometimes. So a new creation. What's the next one say? We have a new master. Yes. Right? Sin is no longer my master. I have a new master. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Let me tell you something, kids. Every single thing that you that challenges you the rest of your life, you know who can beat it? God can beat it. That's right. Let me tell you about what God did. God flooded the entire earth with water. That's a problem. Right? He put everything on the planet underwater. And then you know what he did? He fixed it. I have no problem that he can't fix. If he can flood the whole earth and then fix it, I have no problems. No problems at all. That's what he does. He gave me a new mind. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The new mind says, I'm a servant. I'm not my own. I am somebody else. I am doing someone else's will. The thing that amazes me about the life of Jesus Christ is not that he came and that he was perfect. It's not that he came and he died on the cross. It's not that he came and that he did all these wonderful miracles. It's that he came and he wanted to do his Father's will the entire time. Because if anybody, in my mind, had the right to do whatever they wanted to do, it would be God. And yet God shows us servanthood in the flesh. And it's an amazing concept. So what else? We've got new desires. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So guys, we have a decision, right? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Who said that? Joshua. You know where you got that? You got that from Moses. Because Moses was standing on the edge of the Jordan River, looking over into the Promised Land, and he turns around and he gives the greatest sermon in the entire Old Testament to the Israelites. And he says, okay, I have led you. I have taught you everything that I can do. Which way are you going to go now? What are you going to do? Pick. You can pick God and life, or you can pick not God and death. It is totally up to you. And the neat thing is that we still have this option today. God has given us a new spirit. We can walk in the Spirit doing the things that God wants us to do. So what's next? We have a new love. How many of you ever been in love? Your heart went, oh, everything's great, right? Something special. My love's sitting right here in the blue dress. She's fantastic. She's getting red right now. I'm in trouble in a big way. But my heart went crazy. It was like, oh my goodness, Julie's around. It's awesome. And that's what God's put inside of us. He gave us a love. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So when I love you, what am I showing? I am showing that I am born of God and that I know God. It's great. It's very simple stuff, right? Very, very simple stuff. What's next? New fellowship. Now, we have two kinds of fellowship, actually. This is one picture here. This is that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So it's not just we're holding the Father's hand. Jesus is holding on too, which is fantastic. And the cool thing is our daddy is God, which how do you get better than that? So what's next? We have a new power. Now, how many of you lifted weights in school? Anybody ever lift weights? Anybody lift weights now? My freshman year in high school, I was 6'1", 115 pounds. Woo! It was like feed the children type stuff, you know. I mean, they were taking up a collect. It was awful. It was really, really bad. I've seen pictures, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. This is the thing that I don't like about Facebook, because all my friends have these pictures, and they're posting them. I'm going, no, don't show that. That's awful. And my freshman year in high school, I was on the basketball team. And my coach was convinced that I could bulk up. I mean, they had only one direction to go, right? I was either going to die if I lost any more weight, or I was going to bulk up and be somebody strong. So he put me on this weightlifting regimen. So I'm lifting weights. Now, I'm 6'1", 115. How do you think weightlifting went for me? Very poor. That's right, very poorly. Exactly. All my friends, you know, we had this phenomenal freshman basketball team. Our starting five were 6'5", 6'3", 6'3", 6'2", 6'2". Freshmen in high school. We kicked everybody's butts. Now, only two of those guys graduated high school, but we were great at basketball. Okay? We were great at basketball. How many of you are enjoying the laser light show tonight? You enjoying this? I am loving it. Those lights come on, and I start to sweat, and they go off, and I'm like cooling off. It's fantastic, guys. All right, so we've got this new power, right? So back to my weightlifting here. So the coach sets me down, and we're going to do bench presses, right? Bench presses where you lay on your back, and you push the bar up like this, okay? He puts, I don't know, 150 pounds on the bars. I'm thinking, hey, no problem. Let's sit down and do that. I don't even get it off the rack. Didn't budge. Wasn't like it moved a little. Didn't budge. Look at you snorting down here laughing at me. That's awesome. So the coach backs off the weight, takes some weight off of both sides. Didn't budge. Here we go. Takes more weight off. Didn't budge. All that's left is the bar. That's what I did for 3 weeks every single day before I had enough strength to put any weight at all on that bar. It was just the bar. How do you think that made me feel? The other guys on the team, they were all watching. It's like, Fleming, he can't do anything. This is awful, man. He dribbled the basketball like nobody's business, but he can't lift weights. This is hilarious, right? I had no power. There was nothing. There was nothing in my body that would help me to do what my coach wanted me to do. And the thing about salvation is, before Jesus Christ, there is nothing in my body that allows me to do what God wants me to do. But at the moment of salvation, we get this power. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You can live by the Spirit and do the things that God wants you to do because we have a new power. Amen? I get excited about that. You guys are dead. We're going to stand up here in a minute. Get excited about this. This is incredible, incredible stuff. What's next? We have a new freedom. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Who broke the chain? That's right, Jesus did, absolutely. I've got the answers in the balcony here. This is fantastic. Who is that up there? Samuel. Good job, Samuel. You get a shout out. There you go. Yes, no longer slaves of sin. You know what this means? It means I don't have to be defeated. I don't have to be defeated. I don't have to be defeated. It's absolutely amazing. What's next? That's what he does. That's what God does. He does all of this. And this is the stuff that we're not even aware of anymore. Because for many of us, we don't think about creation very often. Now, if you come on Wednesday nights, Brian Osborne is doing this whiz-bang, oh my goodness, study on creation versus evolution. And that'll get you thinking about creation. But as we generally go through our lives, we don't think about creation very often. And it's sad to say, we don't think about the moment that we got saved very often either. So it's good to be reminded of these things. So what else does God do? Well, God acts visibly in the past. So God creates, and then God acts. So he's done this visibly in the past. Well, how do you do it visibly in the past? Well, number one is Jesus, right? The ultimate act of God getting engaged personally in the world is Jesus Christ wrapping on flesh, the incarnation, and coming and living. So we've got Jesus. The Word became flesh, the incarnation, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then another visible act is the cross, right? Because if Jesus had just come and lived a perfect life, that was more than we deserved right there. Just seeing an example was more than we deserved, but that's not where he stopped. He stopped at the cross. He didn't even stop at the cross, actually. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, there's one more point that I didn't put on the PowerPoint. What's the next point that's really important? He rose again, right? Because it's not about his death. Death is not the end of the story. If there's a couple major themes that run all through the Bible, and one is that death is not the end of the story. The Sunday school lesson that I taught this morning was the story of Lazarus. And when Jesus came to town, Lazarus got up because Jesus told him, "Come here, Lazarus." And he listened from the dead. And he rose again. Now, the sad thing about Lazarus is poor Lazarus had to die twice. Right? It's like, man, I mean, I was hanging out with Abraham and Moses and all these guys up in heaven, and I got to come back? Yeah, he had to come back. Lazarus had to die twice, but Jesus died once, and then he rose again, and that changed everything. And that's what he does. I love it. That's what he does. So God acts visibly in the past, but he also acts visibly in the present. I won't read the whole passage, but Matthew 6, 25 through 34 is the passage where Jesus is speaking. He talks about, what are you so worried about? Right? God takes care of the sparrows. He feeds them. Have you ever seen a bird starve? Have you ever seen a bird starve? We have a lot of experience in the room. Has anybody ever seen a bird starve? Anybody? You have. Where at? That's at my house? Maybe, I don't know. God just takes care of them. Think about that. Think about the amount of wealth that you would have just to feed the birds on this planet. Yeah, even just in the USA, right? We would be all in, even if we were in debt. We'd be in worse debt, wouldn't we? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I heard a good one. Sorry, I got to tell this. So if China defaults on all of our loans, does that mean they repossess the politicians? There's hope. They're working it out right now, right? They're working it out right now. Richard, we're keeping you, brother. We're keeping you, let me tell you. So what does God provide? Well, he takes care of our food and our clothing. One of the strangest commands to me in the New Testament is Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going to send you out, and I don't want you to take any food with you. I don't want you to take any money with you. Don't take a change of clothes. Don't take an extra staff. I'll take care of it. And you know what they do? They go. Can you imagine your boss sending you on a business trip? No company card, no company car, no flight, no hotel, no food. I'll just take care of you. Yeah, right. Who's signing up for that? Nobody's signing up for that. And these boys went. And you know what? He took care of them. You know why? That's what he does. He just takes care of us. That's what he does. Now, a lot of times we think that the stories in the Bible are the way that God used to be. Right? Have you ever fallen into that thinking? Well, that's the way God handled people back then. God really doesn't do things like that anymore. Yes, he does. All the time. All the time. And I've got a family that's going to come up right now, Chris and Rachel Welsh. And they are new members to Stuart Heights, and I've known Rachel for quite a while. We work together at TVA. And yes, work. If Wally's in here, we are working. She works. She probably works a lot harder than I do. I don't know. But they're going to come up and give a testimony about something that happened in their past. Welcome them, guys.
As Jim said, we're Chris and Rachel Welch. We've been members for a little under 2 months now, and we attend at the Saudi Daisy campus. And I've just fallen in love with the church and the people, and you've all just made us feel so welcome, so we thank you for that. We're really excited that Jim asked us to come and talk a little bit about what God did for us. We have three children, Eli, Zeke, and Emmy. Eli's sitting here, and the twins have decided to go back to their classroom, which they do love. But with both of my pregnancies were high risk. So when I was pregnant with the twins, we found I was having a lot of problems just early on. We found out 6 weeks along we were having twins, which was a big surprise for us. The pregnancy went along pretty well. We were having long things that were going on at the same time. Twins were a surprise. We started getting our house ready and getting everything in order, started ripping up carpet and gutting our kitchen and just doing all these projects that we kind of put off and thought now's the time before they come.
We had it all planned out.
Yeah, best laid plans. So we started doing all of this, and Chris had also been looking for a new job at the time, and he was working at UTC, and so he'd been looking for a little bit of time, and so we're going along with the pregnancy, and New Year's Eve, Chris and Eli had gone down to a night watch service, and I'd stayed home and trying to get a little bit of rest. And the next morning, I thought, I'm going to go into Walmart, get some orange juice, get out for a little bit. And my water broke. And I was 26 weeks in one day. So not even into my third trimester at that point. And so our due date was actually April 8th, I believe. And this was obviously New Year's Day. So it was very early on. We were terrified. We were ran down to the trauma unit at Erlanger, and where they confirmed that's what it was. And they brought in some nurses and pediatricians, doctors from the neonatal intensive care unit, started prepping us for what's going to happen next. And what was amazing, I mean, they couldn't really tell you, you know, here's what may happen. You may go into labor in an hour, or you may get 2 more weeks out of your pregnancy, or, you know, we just didn't know. And so we were just terrified and praying so hard. And what was amazing is right there in that labor and delivery triage unit, we really felt like the Lord brought this lady into our lives. This nurse came in, and she was just the most precious thing. And I think God really used her to give us peace. She sat and she prayed with us and just really helped a really horrible situation, give us a little bit of peace about it. So we did end up getting 11 more days out of my pregnancy. And on that 11th day, I went into labor. And so the twins were born weighing 2 pounds, 2 ounces and 2 pounds, 4 ounces. So they're very small.
Let's do the first one. I think it's Zeke. There he is.
So this is Zeke, pretty close to after he was born. He was the bigger of the two, 2 pounds, 4 ounces. And as you can see, he had lots of tubes and everything hooked up to him. And actually, when they were first born, we couldn't even see them. They were just rushed out of the delivery room and straight into the neonatal intensive care unit, where they were intubated and given oxygen and everything that they needed to be able to survive. Emmy, that's Emmy's hand right there, really tiny. So they took care of them really well and just did amazing things. They're just very miraculous in the neonatal intensive care unit. They stayed for a period. Emmy was 57 days. Zeke was there for 70. And during that time, it was just a complete roller coaster ride for us. They had just a ton of issues that they went through. We did start very early on when I went into the hospital blogging, like Jim talked about earlier. That was kind of a good way for us to let everyone in our very large family and friends know what was going on a daily basis. And as you can imagine, when you're going through some type of a traumatic situation, you don't always want to talk on the phone to 50 different people. And we had our church family that was praying for us, and then even a much larger family of people, actually all the way around the world, that we were getting notified of. So that was very helpful and very, very comforting, too. It was one of those situations where I'm a very independent person, and Chris is too, and it kind of threw us out of our comfort zone. So suddenly we were the people. I was on hospital bed rest during this time prior to giving birth to the twins, and it took us to a place to where we relied on God. And we had our family that took care of Eli while we were in the hospital. And I remember even just getting an envelope mailed. Took a good bit of time just to be able to, you know, just to be able to say, I need help, and be able to have those things happen. I'm kind of taking over. You can talk a little bit if you want to.
I just let her go. So far, she hasn't said anything wrong. I'm looking at our list here that we did earlier, and so far, she's fine.
So while we were in the hospital, really early on, we found out that both the twins, Emmy and Zeke, both had a heart valve that didn't close on birth like it was supposed to. So Emmy was diagnosed first, and they try these rounds of medicine. The first round is supposed to have 3 doses, and you hope it's going to close. Hers didn't. About the time that they were going to start the second round, we found out that Zeke also had this same valve, and so we knew what laid ahead. We really started praying about it. We put it on our blog. One more thing that we found is that every time something would happen, we were putting specifics on that blog and asking for people to pray for our specific needs. And the next day we went in, and Zeke's had closed. And so he didn't even have to have the second or third dose in one round of medicine. So those were the things that were happening throughout our entire stay in the hospital. And we were just praising the Lord that we were seeing answered prayers every single day. It was just amazing. And we would, of course, have up days and down days. Emmy ended up having to have surgery to close her, to close the valve at 13 days old. So if you can imagine, you know, saying bye to that little 2-pounder as she went into the hospital was just a horrifying time for us. It was terrifying, but you know, God actually gave us peace about in our heart. I remember, for example, that my mom, who was a wonderful Christian lady, was terrified. You know, this was her grandbaby going in for this surgery, and we actually felt more comfort about it all than she did. Just God has just given us that comfort and that peace. So Emmy came through it and did really well, and that was her turning point, and she just took off and started doing so much better. Zeke and Emmy both had to have multiple blood transfusions while they were there. They had a lot of breathing problems. Actually did not even get to hold them until they were 3 weeks old. It was 21 days after they were born before we got to hold either one of them. Zeke ended up having a staph infection, which put him off into an isolation ward, so they weren't even close to each other. So at that point, we ended up having to start putting gloves on and the gowns and everything to even be able to go in. Couldn't even touch him skin to skin at that point. And then he had a collapsed lung. He crashed in front of me. I was left standing holding his little diaper while he was laying and they were resuscitating him. That happened twice. He had this thing that was, they called a coarctation, which is a narrowing of his aorta, and said that it could cause a lot of problems. And they said that there was no way it was going to self-resolve. That was one of those things we put on our prayer list, and miraculously, it self-resolved. He didn't have to have surgery for it.
Yeah, that one wasn't next day. That actually took, I think, 2 days. But that was really, that every night we would have something we would ask for prayer on, and the next day, whatever we were praying about would be resolved over and over and over again. And, you know, one of the things that we would talk about at night was if this situation can be used. We had family who are, you know, not saved, and just trying to get their attention. Like, you know, there's no way you could ignore this, because, you know, even the doctor with Zeke's coarctation, he was like, it doesn't just eventually get better. I said, you know, well, it's young, and surely that stuff stretches, and it'll open up a little bit after, you know, his heart's using it a little bit. He said, no, you're going to either have to go up to Vanderbilt or down to Emory, and then the other twin will stay here, and you guys are going to have to split up. And that didn't sound like fun at all. So we get the news out there, and then eventually they came back and said, we did another echocardiogram, and now there's no way we can even technically classify it as a coarct because it's not narrow enough, and, you know, we don't know. Well, I said, well, you know, we prayed about it and have all these other people praying about it. I'm pretty sure we knew.
And then Emmy ended up having a grade 3 brain bleed, and they prepped us for it, that it could cause all of these long-lasting problems and developmental issues, and she may have trouble walking and, you know, just learning and all of these things. It was something we prepped ourselves for. Actually, even in pregnancy, they told us that she may have Down syndrome, because they had a spot on her heart that they had detected. And if you see her now, she runs around and she's very happy. She's very well adjusted. She's a brilliant little girl. Not that I'm biased, but she's no problem. So it's pretty amazing. So this went on for a period of about 70 days. We lived actually at the Ronald McDonald House while this was happening, and that was a big blessing that God actually opened that door for us too. If you're familiar with the Ronald McDonald House, they usually have a very long waiting list. And what we didn't realize is the day that we went out of the hospital, there was immediately a spot that had opened up for us. We found out much, much later that there were people at TVA that we worked with, and a lot of people who were on the board and all that we had no clue about that were trying to make ways for us to be able to get in there too. So we've just found it so much, even beyond all of our roller coaster stay within the hospital, that God just worked out. One of the things I mentioned earlier, that Chris was really trying to find another job during this time, and we came to find out that during all of this, that it was such a blessing that he had still been at the job he was in, because he had a lot of leave build up. It was actually UTC's right across the street from Erlanger, so he could just walk back and forth. It was completely amazing.
Oh, yeah, I felt like a heel for complaining about not having a job.
And then actually the week that Emmy was discharged from the hospital, he got a phone call from another company offering him a position that he had really been praying about too. So it was just one after another where you're going, why in the world do I even worry? Because God just made a way, and he really provided the entire time. You can go to the next slide. This is Emmy and Zeke pretty close after they came home. I was here first. They do argue a lot like that, too. But they're doing so well. They both had therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy for about a year after they came home, and then Zeke's went a little bit longer than that. Really, the only lasting effect is that Zeke has chronic lung disease, and we've had multiple bouts with pneumonia where we go in for a three-day hospital vacation. And,
except this year.
Except this year, he's gotten stronger and he's done so much better. But God is just blessed throughout this entire thing. And because of the twins, I mean, it's really been a changing point in our life. You can go to the next slide, please. That's a picture of all three of ours a couple of years ago. But God just really used this to get us involved in the community and with all these organizations that really we benefited through as well. So we've had some wonderful opportunities to go in and really talk about what God's done for us. So that's been a real blessing.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Amen to that.
Thank you.
Amen to that. Sometimes it's just good to hear that God is still active because we forget, you know? We take it for granted. And those of you obsessive compulsive folks, yes, we did skip a blank. We'll go back and get it. Don't worry. Open your Bibles, if you've got them, to Psalm 136. Thank you, Paul. That's right. Psalm 136 is a responsive reading psalm. How many of you grew up in churches where you practiced responsive readings in church? So you're a little familiar with this. In Baptist churches, we typically don't do this. Baptist churches, generally, it's one-directional communication. A lot of different denominations, there's responsive readings. So there's a portion that's read from the pulpit and then a response from the audience. When the Israelites would sing, you know, the Psalms were their songbook, they would sing Psalm 136. And the priests and the Levites would sing the first line of each verse. And the people would sing back the refrain, "For his mercy endures forever." So we're going to do that tonight. I'm not going to sing, though. I'm just going to read. So you just feel free to read back. So I'm going to read the first line, and then you read back. Actually, it's what's on the screen. "For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Now, you're going to have to do better than that. You act like that's really what he does, okay? "Oh, give thanks to the God of gods." Now we're talking. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. To him who laid out the earth above the waters. To him who made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them." I love this. "With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it." Wimp out on me here now. Stay strong. Here we go. "But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, his servant. Who remembered us in our lowly estate. And rescued us from our enemies. Who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. That's what he does. Whew. If you're ever having a bad day, Psalm 136 is a great way just to go, wow, Dad's got it covered. Covered. Not close, not kinda, not sorta. It is completely covered. It's beautiful. That's what he does. So that's some of the stuff that he's doing in the present. But he's also doing some invisible stuff in the present. Love. He loves us right now. I'm glad Jimmy's here, because Jimmy's going to say amen, right? I heard you over everybody else up here reading. That is fantastic. Thank you. Love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's what he does. Illumination. Illumination. Whoop. There we go. Back. Yep, there it is. There's a lot of slides. Paul is doing a great job tonight, let me tell you. Illumination. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. One of the amazing things, if you read through the New Testament, you listen to Jesus teach, is that about half of what he said, nobody understood. Nobody got it. Not the disciples didn't understand. They were going, we have questions. Is there a question and answer time? And he would get them alone after everybody else had left, and he would explain it to them. And praise God that he did, because it's the only way I understand what he said, because it's incredibly confusing. Because somebody would ask him a question, and he goes off in this totally different direction, and you're like, but you didn't answer the question. But Jesus is communicating what he wants to communicate. And the Holy Spirit comes along, and like a flashlight, shines light down on the scriptures and goes, oh, now that makes sense today. Because how many of you have been reading the scriptures, and you read something, and you go, I've read this 20 times, and I've never seen that before. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. You go, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. That's awesome. Illumination. Because without the Holy Spirit, we all sit in the dark and wonder what's going on. One of the verses in the New Testament talks about, we now see through a glass darkly. You know what that's like? Go get a glass, turn the lights out in the room, and try to look through it and see how well you do. It's not going to work too well. That's what life is like without the Holy Spirit. It's not going to work. You're going to go through life wondering, why does this not work? Well, it's not designed to work that way. We're designed to work with God, not apart from God. So, what else is he actively doing right now? He's praying. Now, kids, one of the things that you've been taught, hopefully, is that it's okay to pray to God, right? Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. Did you know God is praying for you? That's kind of cool, isn't it? Absolutely. What does the verse say? Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There will come time in your life when you do not know how to even pray for what is in front of you. It's coming. If you haven't already experienced it, it is coming. Where you get on your knees before God and you go, God, I don't even know how to frame what I need. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes along and prays for us. Oh, man. What do we do without God? We just wander around in the dark. Completely lost. Completely lost. And not only the Holy Spirit, verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus is praying for us right now. All right. How many of you grew up in a church with prayer warriors? You know that term, prayer warriors. People that you could go to and you knew that they could get things done. They had a special line to God that not everybody has. My high school geometry teacher was one of these people. She wanted me to run the tutoring program at our high school my junior year in high school. The tutoring program was on Tuesdays and Thursday afternoons. I was the, don't laugh, the statistician for our soccer team. Yeah. Yes, imagine that. Can you imagine that? I mean, Excel spreadsheets, who would have guessed it, right? Yeah. And guess when we had games? Tuesdays and Thursday afternoons, that's right. You know what she had God do? She had God make it rain every Tuesday and Thursday. We had a game that entire semester. Every single one. The soccer coach, who was an unbeliever, went to her and asked her to stop praying. I kid you not. It was amazing. It's what happens. But Jesus, somebody much, much better than my high school geometry teacher, is praying for me right now. Some people ask me sometimes, Jim, you seem really confident sometimes. Yeah, Jesus got my back. I don't know about you, but he's cleared the path. He's got my back, and he's praying for me right now. The Holy Spirit's given me power, and the Father is shining down his love. What more do I want? Good gracious, I just need to go do the work, right? So something else, security. John 10, 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. This is Jesus speaking, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of his hand. You were sealed. Ephesians 1:13 says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I need a kid volunteer. I need a short gentleman volunteer. And then who's the tallest guy in the room? Who's the tallest guy in the room? Is it me? Now, is Brent here? Brent's probably already stepped out. Is Brent back there? Terry, you want to come help me? Terry, come up. Yep, come on up, Terry. Yep, yep. Come on. I need a short gentleman. Sorry. Terry, come on. Yeah, I know. I love you, brother. I love you. You knew it was going to happen, didn't you? And then, you want to come help? No? Okay. Caleb, you want to come help? Let's help. Come on. All right, so this is how this works. So Caleb is a believer. All right, Terry, come on. Yeah. I need both of you. I need both of you, yeah. There's a whole lot at work in this security thing. So Caleb is a believer, all right? So Caleb, your hand is going to represent you. Ball your hand up into a fist. You ready? Terry is going to be Jesus. So Jesus comes along, and we're in Jesus' hands, right? And then Terry is the Father. And the Father, both hands here, here we go. Now Caleb, now y'all hold on to him now. Don't hurt him, but hold on to him. Can you move your hand right now? If you wanted to pull it out, could you pull it out? Not really, huh? Right? No, you're not going anywhere. But we're not. No. The Father doesn't let go. Oh. Come on now. This is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes along, and we're going to, just in case there's any cracks here, like really, the Holy Spirit is going to seal everything up. Now, that's not a very good. So what I brought some duct tape. No, we're not going to. I just wanted to see there. Caleb? Do you think that anything can hurt your hand right now? No. Is that a beautiful picture or what? We are safe. We are safe. This is my son. And he is safe with Jesus and the Father and the Spirit. Thank you, guys. Okay. He's safe. Oh, I love him. You know what? That's what he does. That's what he does. So what else does he do? Well, you know, there's another part to this story. And kind of what we've talked about is the past part. But the future part is important too. Because God creates, God acts, and God wins. Every single time. In Genesis 1... we have this phrase that shows up over and over and over. Let it be, or let there be, and then God would state something. And then this beautiful little phrase comes afterward. It says, and it was so. And what God is doing is God is building a pattern of dependency on his word. When God says it, it happens. Not sometimes, not part of the time, not most of the time, all the time. Exactly as he happens. So we have this pattern of his word, and then the word. Terry Bolden taught a lesson in my Sunday school class last week about Jesus and the demoniac of Gadara. And he made this phrase, and it was a beautiful phrase. These demons are fighting all they can do. They're fighting, and they're fighting, and they're fighting, and Jesus just says, go that way. So the demons did all the fighting, but Jesus did all the winning. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of what God wins at. He wins with his word, and he wins with the word. The word is Jesus. So what else? Visibly in the present. How many of you are not the same person that you used to be because of Jesus? How many of you are thankful for that? That's us. When God wins right now, His trophies are us. That's what He does. I love it. I love it. And you know what? The cool thing is that we know the end of the story, right? Because He wrote the book on this thing. Caleb, you ready? We're going to skip the video. Thanks. Whoop, go back. There we go. Now, my son and I have been practicing a little bit, right? He didn't know about the hand thing. But Caleb and I have been talking about what the whole Bible is about. What's the story of the Bible? You ready? Cool. Caleb, who built it all?
God.
God built it all. Who broke it all?
Us.
We broke it. Who fixed it all?
Jesus.
Jesus fixed it all. And who wins in the end?
God.
God. You want the Bible in 8 words? There it is. God built, man broke, Jesus saved, and God wins. That's it right there. Thanks, bud. That's it. So what do we talk about tonight? Well, God creates, God acts, and God wins. We're safe in the past, we're safe in the present, we're safe in the future. And I don't know about you, but it didn't get any better than that for me. I love it. That's what He does. Now, next week, there are some serious repercussions from what I have talked about, right? Because if God is doing all of this, surely it is not so that we can just sit around. Surely it is not. Next week is all about, there's an appendix there, and that's the stuff that I didn't have time to cover. So if you want extra reading, for those of you that are geeks like me, I always like extra reading, right? Suggested reading, it's at the bottom of your handout. Next week is all about, that's what we do, because we have a part in this too. So I invite you to come back next week.